It is time once again for Open Court with Fairfield basketball coach Chris Casey, along with the coach. I'm Bob Huesler, joined by my broadcast partner, the former Fairfield great, the Hall of Famer, Joe DeSantis. We are talking with Chris Casey for the first time in this calendar year of 2026. So a belated Happy New Year to the coach and all of our Open Court listeners. And coach, we haven't spoken to you in a while. We actually had intended to do a podcast with you in late December, but the holidays got in the way. And also you left a little earlier for Buffalo, a day earlier, didn't want to deal with any potential weather problems, but you went up to Buffalo, played Canisius and Niagara, and it was one of those situations where you haven't had too many extended road trips this season, so you had a little bonding time up in Western New York?
Yeah, I felt it best to leave early for that, and it's a good thing we did. It ended up being like a nine-hour ride and change up there because of the snow, and I didn't want to deal with that the day before the game, especially with a 4 o'clock game. So I thought it best to leave 2 days out. So we left 2 days. We practiced here, left 2 days out. Took a little while to get up there. We got a great bus driver. Marcus he's a warrior.
Shout out to Marcus.
Yeah, he's he's the best. I love the guy, and the guys love him too. And he got us up there safely, but it was nine and change. But I'm glad we did, because then the next day we practiced up there and then played the 4 o'clock game. So it worked out a little better for us.
Get to do that trip to the falls that some teams
Yeah, a couple of guys went down there. I've been there before, so that wasn't
a few times.
Yeah, it wasn't a priority. Yeah, but
you know the lay of the land up there.
Yeah.
Also, haven't spoken to you since, I think it was before the St. Peter's game. You got locked in your office over there at Mahoney. Went to do my usual pregame chat with you, and you couldn't get out. I couldn't get in. The hallway outside your locker room office in Mahoney Arena was filled with police and fire, and they couldn't figure out how to get you out. They did get you out eventually. How's that door holding up, the one they had to knock down and get you out of your office?
Yeah, well, new door, new key, new lock, so I think we're okay. But, yeah, that was a first in a lot of years of coaching. I've never been locked out of a game before, so.
It got serious. We were wondering if you were actually going to make the opening tip.
Yeah, there was four of us in there, four coaches in there, a bunch of us.
Who were the other hostages?
So it was me, Todd, Bobby was in there, and Matt Scott was in there.
A little flop sweat all
day. Yeah.
Glenn Bryke, I know, is pacing the court and saying, oh, man, I better be ready to go here. All right, you guys were up in Western New York for the games against Canisius and Niagara. Let's talk to you about the win, the win against Niagara. What were the things that you saw that were positive coming off of a disappointing loss against Canisius?
I thought it was a good bounce back for us. You know, I think – you know, in league competition this year, I think we've been right there a number of times. And, you know, our young guys are still learning how hard you have to compete every possession and how consistently you have to compete every possession, particularly on a defensive end and on the offensive end with possessions and handling the basketball and, you know, having good possessions, especially at key points in the game. So they're still learning that. You know, one of the things that happens, I think, with high school guys, and Joe, you probably noticed from doing it, is, you know, you're a good player in high school on a very good team. So 50% of your games, you're probably just going to show up and you know you're going to win. And then out of the remaining 50, 30% of those, you'll show up. You'll have to play a little bit, but you're going to end up winning those too. And then there's 20% of the game, you know, 5-6, where you're playing, you know, that equal competition and you really got to play. Not the case when you make a jump from high school or prep school to Division I basketball. Every game is a war, especially in this league. They're all battles, you know. So there's a little bit of a learning curve there for the younger guys, particularly with four freshmen starting, how to do that game in and game out. And I thought we, you know, responded well to that in the Niagara game.
You just mentioned the four freshmen. We haven't spoken to you on the podcast since you made the decision to insert all four freshmen out of the five in your starting lineup. It really began, as you have told us before games, that decision stemmed from what you saw in the first half, late first half, and most of the second half in the loss against Merrimack. And then that transformed into a total transformation of the starting lineup. What led to that decision, in your words, for our podcast listeners, to use four out of five starting spots for freshmen? And as we are now into the meat of the MAC schedule, How do you evaluate how things have gone so far in regard to that decision?
I think it's the right decision. You know, based the long story short on that was, you know, I didn't like our start at Merrimack. Our energy level wasn't what I wanted it to be. So about halfway through that first half, we made a change and we put all the freshmen on the floor and we made a run back from a significant deficit, cut it to 9 at halftime. We started those freshmen in the second half and, you know, had the game right there in the last 5 minutes. And, you know, we didn't make enough plays and get enough stops, but I thought they played well. And then, you know, we followed that up with, you know, a win against Monmouth with the same freshmen starting and then a win on the road against Central. And, you know, so I think it's been good for us. I like it. And for right now, it's going to remain that.
Well, Declan Wooker-Fennig and Brandon Benjamin, they have been part of the rotation since the get-go. So we'll ask you specifically about your point guard, the key position on this team now being handled, at least at the start, by a freshman in Tony Butter Williams. And also Halon Rawlins is a starter for you. Where have you seen the most growth from them since you handed the reins to them as starting players?
Yeah, I think, you know, what Tony's done is he's one of the guys that's learned how hard you have to play on both ends of the floor in order to be good. And he's responded to that. He's shooting the ball a little bit better. His assist to turnover is good. He's showing game by game a little bit more leadership, you know, and understanding what I'm looking for on the floor and maybe being a little bit more proactive and actually, you know, directing before I have to direct, which is what I want. Halon has really helped us on the defensive end and rebounding the basketball. He's finished fairly well at the rim. If you watch that Niagara game, he made some big plays defensively. You know, he kind of flies around the floor, which I like. So I think he's helped us in those areas too. He's starting to rebound the ball a little bit better too. And he gives us a little more size on the perimeter. You know, he's 6'5", he's got length, he's athletic, he can move. So I think that helps us too. He was really good in the first half against Niagara. In that first half against Niagara, we had 23 deflections by halftime and turned them over, I think it was 8 or 9 times. And had significant points off turnovers. So he's really helped us in that area.
Going back, Chris, to the Niagara game, you know, your big three, as I call them, Benjamin, Sparks, and Wooker-Fennig had 50 points, 18 rebounds. They were 20 for 31 from the field. They've been consistent. But I got to believe on that long, I can't say that word, on that long ride home, you had to be talking about the performance of Deuce Turner.
Yeah, Deuce was great. You know, he made some plays at the end of the game that really helped us win the game. And I purposely wanted to have him in there at the end of the game. I feel like on my end, I got to do that a little bit more for him. We put the ball in his hands a couple times, which I thought was effective. He passes the ball well and made good decisions. And he made a couple buckets that we needed, 2 free throws and a bucket in transition. So really pleased with him. And you know, he had a terrific practice today, so hopefully he can get on a little bit of a roll here.
Well, I'm really going to be Donnie Downer, Danny Downer.
Debbie.
Well, I'm not Debbie. I'm not a female.
Well, that's the phrase.
So you can't win. I'm really coming at you, Chris. You can't win with one backcourt guy performing. So you have to have said on that whatever bus ride home, 9 hours, whatever, to get home, how many times did you say, I hope Deuce can continue to play this way? Because you need him.
Yeah, well, we definitely need him. And he knows that. And we've had that conversation. And, you know, I said 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, one of the things that we really do need is we need a second guy in the perimeter to score consistently. That's what we need. And hopefully, you know, he's hopefully after that performance, he's turned the corner a little bit. And, you know, on my end, like I said, I got to figure out a way to get him some more opportunities to do that.
Why has he been inconsistent? Dive deep and let us know his background, his MO.
I don't know that it's anything significant, Joe. You know, he's in his last year. He has aspirations. You know, some guys handle that immediately. Some guys have to go through it a little bit to handle it. He's a great kid, you know, with a hardworking personality and, you know, approaches things the right way. You know, it works differently for different guys. You know, so on our end, we just let him know that we have confidence in him. And, you know, we're going to put him in spots to, you know, to help us win games. And, you know, he definitely did that against Niagara.
And there's no doubt that if there is one player who kind of mirrors the way the season's gone so far with the ups and downs, it is Deuce Turner. And we're not trying to make it about him, but he has great pedigree, great resume coming into Fairfield. And I would specifically ask you how he is accepting this role as the sixth man, because he was a starting player for you. Now you have Tony at least starting the game. So it's a fair question. How has he embraced that? What kind of communication between you and him have gone on as far as embracing that role of first man off the bench?
Yeah, he's been great with it, and there's been significant communication about it. In fact, he's thanked us for the communication because he didn't have that at previous spots that he's been in. Right. So he's been great with it, and you know, he just wants to win. He wants to play well, and he wants to help us win. And it's not about him. It's about all of us. Absolutely. You know, and and really what it's about, you know, we talk about ups and downs. We've won four of our last six. We have to get some more wins in the league. That's certainly what a goal, obviously. We want to get more wins in the league. Part of this, too, Bob, is, you know, you have to go through something to get good at it. And the bottom line is, you know, the freshmen that are starting and Eric coming off the bench, and they haven't played in these situations before in Division I basketball. They haven't played in these on these road games. You know, we've started four of the first five on the road. The schedule is the schedule. You got to play the schedule, but they haven't experienced that yet. You know, so some of this is, and I'll give them credit. They've put us right there in a bunch of games, you know, in the league to come out on the other end. We just haven't done enough, you know, in key points offensively and defensively to do that. We did do that on Sunday, so hopefully that's a little bit of a turning point for us. But, you know, I'll give them credit. They fight through it, and they want to win, and they need to go through a little bit of experience before they can figure out how to do that. That's the way I look at it, and you're right. It's not just about Deuce. It's about all of us, you know, and we need to play a little bit better on a defensive end. We need to play a little bit better on the offensive end, and we need to coach better. And that's how we figure it out. You know, it's a daily process that we have to go through.
We've brought up Tony Butter Williams' name a few times here, and I wanted to mention that he will be our guest this week on the player edition of Open Court. We'll ask him this question, but I want to ask you as well. When you see Tony optimally, when he's performing at his best, pass first point guard, scoring point guard, what do you want out of him in terms of what a point guard can do for this particular Fairfield team?
I want both. You know, he's got to be able to take and make open shots. He's got to be able to get to the lane and make good decisions about, you know, if the lane is trafficked, be able to drop off or pitch out. If the lane's not trafficked, be able to get to the backboard and finish. If you watch him since the beginning of the season, his shot selection has improved tremendously. Now, he knows he's got to shoot a little bit of a higher percentage, but that's going to come going through the experience. So he's improved in that area. And, you know, I think he's just scratching the surface about what he can be.
Your situation is unique because, and I don't know, I haven't done the homework, but I got to believe you're the only team in the country that starts four freshmen. Normally, having a player like Butter Williams or Rawlins, and of course the two superstars up front, you'd sit here and be saying, wow, this is great. We got these four guys for the future. But is there more pressure on these kids now because they're playing against older kids? And they know they're not maybe going to get a chance to play with this group together. Do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah, I don't think there is, Joe. You know, we certainly on our end coaching them, we try to alleviate that as much as possible. You know, we go hard and there's intensity to us in practice and we compete really hard. But we try to, you know, make it where, hey, just go compete hard and have fun with it, you know. So we try to alleviate some of that. And then also, you know, in this day and age, Joe, I mean, some of these guys, you know, at 14, they were playing U16. So they're playing older guys. And, you know, in high school, they were good players. So they might have started as sophomores and they're playing against seniors. So I don't think that any of, you know, nowadays, I don't think kids look at it that way. I think they look at it, you know, I got to go compete and play hard. And, you know, I'm getting an opportunity and I got to take advantage of it.
But my point is, I've said it on the air, I think you're the perfect coach for this team because you have the patience for the freshmen. And you've done enough in your career to that the older players will respect you. But I think it's unfair, almost to a point, that they're not being looked at, not by you, but in general, giving a chance to get better and grow up. Because there's so much emphasis now on winning because the roster changes so much. And there's so much emphasis on guys leaving that this roster may not be the same. I think it's more of a statement than a question.
Than a question, yeah. And I understand exactly where you're coming from. And, you know, that's down the road stuff. So, you know, we're doing both. We're trying to win and we're trying to develop guys. And we went into this year with a philosophy, and not only basketball-wise, but administratively and university-wise, that – you know, we want to try to stay close to a traditional model if we can. And we want to try to retain guys and we want to try to develop them. And, you know, if you look at the good teams, quote unquote, good teams in our league, you know, Marist is playing well. They've retained guys. Quinnipiac's playing well. They've retained guys. St. Peter's is playing well. They've retained a few guys with Bland and the guards. You know, so you have to find a way to do that, you know, to be good. And I'll be quite honest with you, I feel like I coach better like that. I enjoy that more. You know, I want guys in the program a few years. I want to, you know, have good relationships with them. I want to watch them develop into as players and as young men. And, you know, that, you know, from doing this, Joe, like that was the most enjoyable part of this when you first started doing it, you know. And I want to, I and the university, we want to keep that as much as possible. So that's what we're working on. So I understand where you're coming from with that. I try to give that as little focus as possible because it's down the road, and I try to put my most of my focus on these guys and, you know, getting them to play better, getting them experienced, and getting them to win.
Talking about what's going on right now, if I told you before the Buffalo trip that you would score 80-plus points in both of those games, you would have probably anticipated a sweep, Coach. But Canisius put up 85 against you, and they're not a high-scoring team. They made 15 threes in that game, which may be just one of those cases, especially in that Singleton kid's case, where they got hot. But even in the second half of the Niagara game, you know, they scored, the Purple Eagles put up 44 in that second half. So defensively, I know you couldn't be pleased with some of the numbers, just numbers, that you saw that weekend, albeit a split weekend, and you got out of it with the win against Niagara, which is a great win. But assess where you're at defensively and where this team needs to get to defensively in order to be the kind of team you want to be.
Yeah, a couple things on that, Bob. First, the three areas that we have to get better at is transition defense, ball screen defense, and guarding the basketball. Those are the three areas. I think we're guarding actions pretty well, you know, in terms of what teams are running, and I think we're doing a pretty good job rebounding the basketball. Those are three areas of emphasis, and I don't really look at numbers of points because we play fast. So when you play fast, the points are going to be higher. I pay more attention to points per possession, and we want to try to keep it at one or under. So in the Niagara game, we were right about one defensively. In the Canisius game, not so. You know, in the Niagara game, we were 1.4 points per possession offensively. In the Canisius game, we were like 1.2. So Singleton won that game for us because if you go back and you look at that game, we didn't pay enough attention to the scouting report, which, you know, young guys will do. And there wasn't an urgency and an understanding that, you know, once he hit his first two, one was off a loose ball, you know, another one, he banked one in, and now he's starting to roll. And now you got to find him in transition, and you got to make sure in the half court that you don't lose him. And, you know, he went off in the first half and got rolling. He made 8 threes in the first half. So, you know, that's something that sometimes happens when a guy gets hot, but you can't allow that. You got to be able to, you know, cut that off. And we didn't do that in that game. If you look at every other area, we were better rebounding. We were at the rim a lot more than them. We were in the paint a lot more than them. We offensive rebounded better than them. You know, we had a lot. Our numbers were pretty good in that game in some areas. He's the guy that won the game for him, and we allowed it by not finding him and not understanding, okay, he's hit a couple now. There's an urgency involved here. And, you know, some of that is we gotta do a better job coaching him, and some of that is young guys understanding that somebody can get off like that. And, you know, when it starts to go, you have to have a realization of it on the court and put the clamps on him.
And you'll get another look at them later in the month at Mahoney. I think it's January 24th. want to ask you about, Joe referred to the two freshmen as superstars, and they are. Brandon Benjamin and Declan Walker-Fenwick are 1 and 2, respectively, in rebounding in this league. And also you have the leading scorer in the MAC, in Braden Sparks. So the question about those three collectively is, they've been really great for you. Where can they go from here? What do you need them to do to even improve? And we're always talking about improvement and getting better on a day-to-day basis. So with those three collectively who have given you so much already this season, where do you see the ceiling for them?
Well, a couple things. So with Brandon, one of the things that we work on and talk with him a lot about is footwork, just elite footwork. And if you watch him since the season began, his footwork down around a basket has really, really improved. And it's helped his game a lot, and it's helped us a lot. So that's one of the things we've asked him to improve on. The other thing we want him to improve on is running. You know, if you watch him, he does run, but he doesn't run consistently. And I think that's going to help him both defensively and offensively, getting back in transition, and then also offensively with rim runs and, you know, flattening out the defense by getting up the floor. Declan is just a warrior, plays extremely hard, as is Brandon. He's working on, you know, we do some Xing with him, so he's working on guarding the ball a little bit better. I want him to continue to take open threes. He made a couple on Sunday, which were big ones, and he's a good shooter. I think he's in the process of getting used to speed of the game, Division I basketball, physicality, and still being able to produce offensively. So he's improving his shooting from three, and I want him to keep taking threes. And then Braden, you know, Braden's been fantastic for us. I can't say enough good things about him. And, you know, he's really improved defensively. He was very good in the Niagara game defensively, you know, off the ball. He's really improved off the ball defensively. And, you know, I want him to keep his foot on the gas and keep playing. There's times here and there where he's got to have a little bit better decision-making with the ball. But we've had that discussion, but I don't want that to inhibit the fact that he's in attack mode on offense because he produces.
Let's talk a little bit about the schedule. We're speaking to you as you're getting ready for Rider on Friday, and then you'll get a rematch against Manhattan at Mahoney on January 14th. Recognizing that all you're concerned about right now is Rider, we'll ask you what the keys are as you prepare for them, both against them as an opponent and the things you're trying to get better at this week with a little bit of extended practice. And if you can also add, albeit knowing you're not concentrating on them yet, but you lost to Manhattan last time you played them down there, what will need to be different against the Jaspers when you get them next week?
All right, Ryder, you know, one of the things that we have to do is they're a good team. You know, I know that's a crazy statement based on what their record is, but, you know, if you look at some of their league scoring and their league numbers, they're improving and they're getting better. So we have to pay more attention about respecting the opponent. Things that are going to be important in the game is rebounding. They got good size. They're always a good rebounding team. They're always a good offensive rebounding team. We're going to have to handle when they three-quarter court pressure us. They'll run some actions that we need to guard, and then after that we're going to have to, you know, guard Cruz off the dribble and Burton off the dribble and keep those guys in front of us. We'll have to do a good job with transition defense because they do get out and run a little bit. And then on the offensive end, you know, we have to take care of the basketball. You know, one of the things that helped us on Sunday was we had 5 turnovers. And I think we're getting a little bit better about, you know, we've never been a high turnover team. We've had a couple games where turnovers were too many. We're starting to improve in that area. So that's going to be important in that game. As far as Manhattan goes, to be honest with you, Bob, it's not coach speak, but I haven't even looked at them, and I'm not going to until we get through the Rider game, and then I'll start paying attention to what that game was like and, you know, what we need to do to be successful in that one.
Any injury updates? I know we always have to touch upon that during one of these podcasts. So specifically, we're talking about Peyton Smith. Maybe you can give us an update on Matty Curtis. We know that he had to go through a procedure, and also a Noah Best. Any news on any of them?
Yeah, there's not a huge update there. Peyton is back to is actually practicing a little bit, but it's all non-contact. You know, he's in his running progression stuff right now. So he's doing a little bit in practice. Noah is back practicing. He's still working on, you know, making sure that he's protecting, you know, the ribs, you know, which was where his injury was. Matty Curtis is, you know, still recovering from the procedure. So he'll be out for the year, but he's still recovering from that procedure.
Confident that you'll see Peyton on the floor this season?
I don't know on that one, Bob. I'm just going day to day on it. Yep. You know, he's just recently now back doing non-contact stuff. We'll have to have the rehab people and the trainers and the medical staff decide when he can go contact, and then we'll see how that goes, and then we'll go from there.
Same feeling about Noah?
Yeah, pretty much the same for Noah, yes.
All right, and we've reached that point in the podcast where we asked Joe if he has any final words.
Well, we talked a little bit before we went on air, but Bacora and Gallagher went after each other. So I got a bunch of questions. Did you ever want to go after another coach during a game? Did you ever go after another coach? And your thought on that situation?
Well, you know, when I was an assistant at Central, Joe, and you were at Quinnipiac, I wanted to go after you a few times. But no,
I'm why? You beat us every time.
I'm kidding, obviously. I'm kidding. Yeah, I mean, great question, Joe. I would say this, you know, any competitive person, there's going to be times you want to go after somebody. You know, it can't supersede your self-control and your professionalism. It just can't. So I can't give you any specific instances, but I'm sure there's been one or two over the years where you want to go after somebody. But I've always tried to remind myself, hey, you know, you it's not about you. You're representing a university. You're representing young men who you're trying to teach to act the right way. And you're representing your family. And, you know, and that always serves as a reminder to me as much as you may want to here and there, you know, you still have to remain professional.
Good answer.
You said you had a few. You're done, huh?
I'm done.
You're done. Okay.
A couple of questions.
I thought you had more, Joe. I shut it down there. That's
what you did. But you said you wanted to go after Joe when you were at Central Connecticut. Shut him down. All right, Coach, that'll do it for this edition of Open Court. Remember to watch for Open Court Player Edition this time around with Tony Butta Williams. It'll be dropping soon if it hasn't already. Our next edition of Open Court will be prior to the home games later this month against Niagara and Canisius.
Yeah, Bob, I just wanted to jump in there real quick. I'm sorry to interrupt your close, but I just wanted to wish everybody listening to the podcast a happy new year and a very prosperous, safe, and healthy 26. So happy new year to everybody.
Which is a nice gesture, but you know Larry David of Seinfeld fame and Curb Your Enthusiasm fame says that once you have passed January 2nd, you cannot wish Happy New Year to people. But it's the sentiment that counts. So I add to that sentiment and wish all our listeners and all our great Fairfield fans very Happy New Year. So for the coach, Chris Casey, and for the Hall of Famer, Joe DeSantis, I'm Bob Huesler. Thanks for listening to Open Court.